We turn again in the Word of God this morning to this portion in the epistle written by Peter, or dictated by Peter, and specifically we see it was written, verse 1, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. Those of the dispersion. Some believed that they were all, some there are today who believe and have believed that they are those who are the Jews of the ten lost tribes who had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians and never returned. There are some who believe that this is talking to the Jews and Gentiles scattered. Now, they might get that from the fact that Galatia is included here, and we see that when the Apostle Paul speaks to the churches in Galatia, he is predominantly speaking to Gentiles who have been bewitched by the old law and those Judaizers who had come to place this burden on their back. But I would understand it myself as those who are of the dispersion, those who were scattered preaching the gospel everywhere, who were scattered after Pentecost, after indeed those converts from those many nations came and they were converted at the preaching of the apostle, and then there was that great persecution arose, and so they were dispersed and scattered. But whatever it be, these ones who are addressed here are believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be certain on that. We can be absolutely certain on that. However they heard the gospel, they were those who were placed where they were placed, scattered in those areas of land that God placed them, and they were called and elect of God. And we read again here, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, modern day Turkey as a whole. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The title of the message today is this: Always, Always in His Thoughts. Or better put, ever and always in His thoughts. There are two sayings that come to mind. Two sayings that come to mind that we use in this life from time to time. One being a true, and the other, we can only hope to be so. We can only really hope to be so, as hard as we try. You may have heard of it said of someone, oh, they just acted without thinking. They just acted without thinking, without a thought for others, without a thought for themselves, or the consequences that should follow. Also, in a well-meant statement that we say to others regularly, who are troubled by some trial or hardship or maybe a heartache, you are always in my thoughts. You are always in my thoughts. But you know, and I know, truthfully, that is not so. Is it? It's just not so. We wish it to be so. We say it to be so as comforting words, but that's all they are. We do not fulfill that. We cannot. For while the former statement is so often the case, the latter we cannot hope to do. We just cannot. And anyone who says that they do, they lie to themselves. Yet both we have no ultimate control over. Both of these situations we have no ultimate control over. Acting without thinking, or holding someone in our thoughts, we have no control over. But this cannot be applied. This cannot be applied to the Almighty God. This cannot be applied to the Almighty God. This cannot be said of Him, for He is the only one who always acts upon. He always acts upon what He has purposed to do. He always acts upon His thoughts, and indeed has a people ever in those thoughts. If you belong to God today, and you alone can say this, if you belong to God, if you know God, you're ever in His thoughts. You were ever in His thoughts. We cannot even use this term, His thoughts, in such a carnal way and use such carnal reasoning and understanding, for God is not like us. He thinks not like us. And indeed, He says, to whom or to what will you compare me? He it is alone, we know, that worketh all things, each and every minute detail, all things according to the counsel of His own will. Not one event, major or insignificant as we would see it to men in this world, happens without the express permission and forethought and planning of God Almighty. To this end, the saving of an express and certain people. To this end, all things are working to the saving of His people. That is the only reason why the pages of history have taken place. right up to this point and right up to the very point when history shall end. It's to the saving of God's people. If you don't believe that, you haven't got a God at all. But if you believe that and you remind yourself of that, you see great comfort in these words. For these indeed are comforting words from the apostle here in 1 Peter to the people of God. You've just got to believe that. You've just got to believe this of God Almighty. You've just got to believe it. If you know God the Saviour. And so I ask the question. Do you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is God Almighty sovereign over all things? Otherwise, if you believe not that and will not bow to that, you must conclude, there is only one conclusion, you must conclude that this present world and all history dances to the very tune of man, the devil, and indeed is utter chaos. That's the only alternative. God is not part God and part not God. He's either God, He's either Almighty over all, or He's no God at all. Who wants a God like that? Only fallen humanity wants a God like that. A God, of course, whom they shall tell it where to go. They will stand it up where they want it to go, just like an idol, and place it where they want it. That cannot hear, and that neither can see, and cannot act. Only this week, that godless fool in the White House in Washington dared to accuse another man, the President of Russia, and I quote, "You are on the wrong side of history." Is he? Is anyone on the wrong side of history? History has been so many times quite rightly said. It's not anything to do with us. It is his story. And he has placed everything where he wants it in that history. To the saving of his people. To the praise of the glory of his grace. What utter pride for anyone to say that they can alter history or decide what is history. Does any man or nation write history? I know we do. We try to rewrite history. Each nation has its own lies that they rewrite history in their own, according to their own understanding of how they saw it. And so they turn their people against other peoples. We love to rewrite history, but we cannot write it or nor rewrite it. All events, even the evils in this world, as indeed these people knew for sure here, they lived in the days of Nero, the most wicked of the Roman emperors. Just read the history books and see what Nero did to believers. Torn limb from limb in the Colosseum. Sawn in two. They were being told. These people here were being told of the apostle, "Fear not, fear not, fear not. You're elect of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." All events, even the evils in this world, come to pass only by the express permission of God Almighty. Only. Just ask Job. So instead of arguing with God, we must be like Job and fall on our face and worship. We may amen such truth, and yet so many have a much more different thinking where salvation is concerned. Somehow that's different. Somehow God is not sovereign over that. We cherry pick and choose what God will be in charge of. But this is the fallen nature of man. Man will not have God rule over him, thinking that man can choose to take or leave the redemption that is in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Listen, for the true people of God, the true people of God, and only they, the true people of God, called by His grace unto eternal life and believing on His Son for salvation, for pardon and peace with God, and His one sacrifice for their sin on the cross, where He was made a curse for us. Such are uplifted, are only uplifted by such truth, are only uplifted and built up in their faith and encouraged in all circumstances. Now we see in our text all the three persons of the blessed Holy Trinity, the one God, working towards this end, the saving of His people, the saving of God's people, His loved ones. But today we begin to look more particularly at the work of the first member of the Godhead, He who is the head of the Godhead. And we must not forget that. We must never forget that. We are never ever told to address our prayers directly and only to Jesus. We come through the Son to the Father. We do not address our prayers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us through the Son to the Father. Now, if it's good enough for God Almighty and His Godhead, I think it should be good enough for us. The Lord Jesus never encouraged such a thought as to usurp His position in the Godhead. Didn't mean He's not God Almighty, but in the mystery of godliness, in the mystery of all the very being of God, His Godhead, we are told that the Father is the head. And we see here the work of the first member of the Godhead, who is the instigator of salvation and of the grace from which that salvation is bestowed upon certain sinners. He's the instigator of it all. God's word here says those scattered among the world believing on Christ for peace with God are recipients of grace, undeserved favour from God, where condemnation, utter condemnation at sin, is only deserved. But see the final part of this verse 2 in 1 Peter 1. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's where all of this springs from. This election, this choosing unto salvation, is according to the election of grace, and grace alone. Grace that cannot be stirred up by man or achieved by man is an eternal work of God. But what is the cause of this grace and mercy? Well, it certainly is that the redeemed were ever in the mind of God the Father. What a thought. What a thought. If you have trouble with that thought, I don't know what you will ever have joy in. If you belong to God. Ever in the mind of God. We can't even play out the depths of that thought. Ever in his mind. Even from eternity past, before creation. Yeah, even before the fall. Even though God purposed that through the fall we should know the manifold riches of his grace, they were ever in his thought. We read, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father. This truth that God has chosen a particular people, in other places they're called a peculiar people, a special people, a particular people who will be saved and must be saved from the punishment of their sin. That this is a distinguishing grace which calls them only unto salvation. It's fundamental to the faith that Jude says that was once delivered unto the saints. Anything that tampers with that message is not the gospel. It's not even a false gospel, as the apostle says in Galatians 1. It's not even a gospel. It's bewitching people, and indeed those who propound such untruths are to be damned of God, he says. Those who are chosen of God know that they are safe. Safe and secure in that salvation. Safe and secure in that Saviour, no matter what. What a rock of foundation this is. As indeed the word tells us, salvation is of the Lord. And so because salvation is of the Lord, the keeping in that salvation is of the Lord, and he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto that day. Even the day when Christ shall come again to make all things new. Safe, secure, never to be moved. Though all around them moves. As we've just sung in that hymn, have we not? The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? If you're not in Christ, if Christ is not in the vessel, you can't smile at the storm. Like any master builder who knows what he is doing, who knows his work, any master builder who knows what he is doing in beginning a structure, so the great master builder who is God Almighty, the great master builder and maker of his church, God Almighty, knows exactly what he is doing and has a plan and purpose, and he sticks to that, and it is done. There's no second drawing up of the plan like happens in this world. Things that get in the way, they find a snag and they have to move around the site where they were going to build. No such thing with God. His purpose stands forever. For see, the word of God that we've just read in 2 Timothy 2, and particularly verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. What is this foundation that standeth sure? Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's not just a command to depart from iniquity, it's an actual word saying, let them, they shall be brought to repentance. As the Lord Jesus says of such, when the Spirit come, he shall convict of sin. Yes, God commands all men everywhere to repent. This is absolutely certain. This is absolutely right. All men are responsible before God. There is a responsibility as God's creatures, as a whole, to obey his voice. That is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world, but men loved darkness to light, because their deeds were evil, and so they did not come to the light. Man does not want the light of God by nature. For on account of the fall into sin and the willful disobedience, yes, it's willful. The willful disobedience. That's the only will we have, by the way. That's the only will we have. The me will. The I will. Not the will of God. The willful disobedience of the human heart. Now, none according to the flesh can or will obey and believe God. None. Not according to the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the human mind is enmity against God, at utter rebellion and war with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And yet a great number of what calls itself Reformed Christianity today tries to either deny human responsibility on account of election, because they can't square that circle, as it were. They have a problem with human responsibility. They either deny that, or they try to marry the two together with a hodgepodge of free will works religion that accepts sovereign election, yes, says they adhere to it, yet in practice, in the so-called preaching of the gospel, offers salvation that they cannot offer. Offers salvation. So then they deal with the responsibility of man. That's the way they see it, you see. But as we shall see, this is totally misreading all scripture, particularly here our text in 1 Peter 1:2. For some say that this text teaches God just knows what will happen. I ask again, is this a God? I don't know all that will happen, but you know what, I see a lot of things happening in advance. Anyone can see things happening in advance if they have a knowledge of the way things work. You can see someone crossing out into the road in the traffic, and you know they're going to get knocked over. If they don't step back, or someone doesn't pull them out, or the car doesn't stop in time. Is this a God? Some say he just knows what's going to happen, and so the rest is up to us, and he knows what we will do. Well, in a sense, yes, of course God Almighty knows everything that we will do. But note, as the psalmist says in Psalm 139, all the days allotted for me were written in thy book. So it wasn't just a knowledge, they were purposed and planned. But is that what the Word of God teaches, that God just merely knows? Is that what the Word of God says here? Well, let God's word be its own interpreter. Let God's word be its own interpreter. And the things that belong to God, the secret things of why he acts as he does, you just leave them to him alone. Greater minds than ours have failed. Just leave those things to God alone. For he declares in his word, and he puts us all in our place, and he says to us that he acts not as we do, and he never will. He never will. He's not going to be the God that we make him to be. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. If you will not bow to God's will, that indeed some from among Adam's fallen sinful race are however elected, chosen of God from eternity, and will be brought by that electing grace, that irresistible grace, to believe on his Son and receive forgiveness of sins. And them alone are the objects of the grace and mercy of God. And so that Christ did bear their sin only in his body on the tree, that his sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice, is a perfect sacrifice, and is one without fail. For he shall see of his travail and be satisfied. If you believe not that, if you believe not that, that the Son of God was made a curse on the cross to take the condemnation only of his own special people, alone, that there indeed are others, the others they are called, others outside of his grace and mercy, and can never be brought to that grace and mercy. They are called the reprobate and rejected of God, the word of God says. If you will not accept this, you have no joy, you have no peace, you have no God. Then you are contending with the Almighty, in effect questioning him, even telling him to go as far as to say he is wrong. The only conclusion we can draw from such a position to be in. Is that right? That's exactly correct. Exactly and utterly correct. For we just read in 2 Timothy 2, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. From the next verse in that passage, and that which came before, we see for a certainty that God permits not that all should be able to call upon the name of the Lord Christ the Lord and be saved. Not all who claim to know the Saviour are known of God. But turn back to that passage in 2 Timothy 2. Remember, Scripture, God's word, is its own interpreter. Second Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What do we see before in verse 18? Speaking of some who have turned aside from the truth, who concerning the truth have heard, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, there are others known of God. And see verse 19. Sorry, verse 20. Goes into greater detail and tells us the purpose of God. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. There are those who are called of God, known of God, and those who are not known of God. Even as Jesus says on that final day, depart from me, for I never knew you. Well, not just on my walk on this earth, not just right now, from eternity, I never knew you. And he says to those go unto condemnation, to hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. But look, those who he knew from eternity, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Perfectly planned. And so perfectly comforting the people of God. Not all who claim to know Christ belong to Christ. Only those who know they are called of God. And you know if you are called of God. You just know it. For indeed, in context with Scripture as a whole, Christ says, none can come unto me except the Father which sent me draweth him. He goes on to say, and as many as the Father hath given me, I should lose none. Have given me. Not will give me. Have given me. Two final things to make you firmly and securely comforted throughout all the trials of life. First, you, if you know the Saviour, you were ever in the thoughts of the Father God. Ever in his thoughts. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So is God's choice based upon him knowing just that you will believe? Did God the Father set his love upon a people and send his Son to die for some, as others would prefer to say today, who would believe? Christ was chosen as the Redeemer, and in him were chosen a people unto salvation, and on that cross he bore their sin. Those who would believe. That's too weak, that statement. But no, it cannot be but that. This would be election unto salvation, would make election unto salvation in Christ dependent on something you do. Dependent on your works, and so not sovereign. Well, you don't find that statement in Scripture anyway. If you're going to find a more scriptural statement, you'd say Christ was sent into the world to save a people, and indeed he died for a people who God, by his grace, would grant the gift of faith. Now that's biblical. Not the work of Almighty God, you see, if it be dependent on us, anything we do. But as the hymn writer says quite clearly, thou must save and thou alone. Scripture never even hints that God's choosing to save some is because of something they do. Never hints on it. Never hints that God's choosing is on account of something he saw in advance that they would do, because of a passive foreknowing, just standing back and looking and seeing it happen. The word foreknowledge here actually means forethought. And that foreknowing and forethought is the cause and effect of salvation. And so it is irrevocable. We see in Ephesians 1 where we read of this election of grace again. And we mark the words well, if we be wise. We mark the words well. In verses 2-7, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not just in time, but in eternity. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, there's a purpose to it, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, that we are made the very righteousness of God in him who was made sin for us. It's a purpose that is done, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so God foreknew, as he purposed and forethought to do, according to and so in Christ Jesus, saved a people for himself by the sacrifice of his Son, doing all his good pleasure. That's what this means. And so it's all his good pleasure to keep his people in that salvation. Dear believer, you are secure and safe, so kept no matter what by the grace, by this grace, by not the grace that is said of false teachers, but the grace of God that is indestructible, unstoppable and irreversible. Because it was ever in his mind. Second and last, we saw earlier in Isaiah 55, quoted in 2 Timothy 2:19, let everyone who nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Place there, everyone who names the name of Christ, says, who name the Lord or call on the Lord in the prophet Isaiah. See that all those who God did foreknow, even before they knew themselves, or their mother conceived them, came to be the recipients of God's grace before time. Not with God standing passively back, observing all things in advance. No, much more than this. This is all your hope. This is all your confidence if you belong to God. Because God's foreknowledge is his will and purpose, it must be so. It cannot be otherwise. For his will is that which is even as it is done in heaven. It's done already. That which you go through tomorrow, that which he will bring you through tomorrow, that which he will keep you in tomorrow, is done already. Before your life began, before this world began. It is so. God's purpose is so. It is done. It can only be done. For we see again Isaiah 53. It says in these familiar words, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. But of course, if we know scripture, we know you cannot seek God of yourself. And you will not seek God of yourself. There is none who seeketh after God, the word of God says. Does it not? But as has been rightly said by another, whenever God gives a command to his people, he enables them to fulfill it. That is so. Seek the Lord while he may be found. God's word says, I am found of them who sought me not. God by his Spirit must come to reveal Christ, the Saviour, in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of eternal life. For God goes on in the prophet Isaiah to say here, call ye upon him while he is near. He's near. Who is he near to? He's near to those who he is calling. And they know the call. Let the wicked forsake his way now. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. This call, this gracious invitation of grace is an irresistible call to God's elect. According to his foreknowledge, according to his foreknowing, he gives them what they need to do this, to call upon him. He draws them irresistibly. And so the question I ask is God near to you right now? Even now, even calling you to seek his mercy and pardon for sin. If he calls those by those words and actually in your heart places those words to mean something to you, call upon me while I am near. He will enable you and indeed will not cast you out. To trust Christ, believing he has paid the penalty for your sin on the cross. Then call on him freely now. His mercy, his pardon is abundant. Grace and peace be multiplied to the people of God. The elect, the chosen of God in Christ unto salvation are so only according to the forethought of God the Father, and so purposed and so secure and so definitely so. And so nothing in earth or in heaven or hell can prevent you if he chose you from coming to know that salvation. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen to this. Only when these words come clearly to you in the gospel, only when the gospel is made this to you, will you know salvation. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall the word of my, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing. I do not know what the thing that God has sent forth his gospel for today is, but I do know this, that thing, it shall accomplish that for which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. By the preaching of the gospel, it pleases God to say, indeed, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and whom he willeth, he hardens. He will either make you willing in the day of his power, or your heart will remain cold and refuse him. I pray that you are one who was ever on his mind, and so safe in him, and so can face everything now, secure in the knowledge that you are kept by this power, kept by this God, safe in him, the Lord Jesus, who was ever sent to save his people from their sins.